Church in Seymour, Indiana. I'm privileged today to host our radio ministry on this first Sunday of May. Today, this radio broadcast is sponsored by Bob and Jennifer Dorio in honor of frontline workers in this present crisis. Thanks, Bob and Jennifer. And I want to thank George Ann Coons for playing the piano for us this morning. We begin our morning's worship with the singing of a song entitled, God Will Take Care of You. So please join me if you have the music available, and let's sing together.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care.
Now, George Ann and I would like to offer some special music this morning. It's a song out of our hymnal, and it's entitled Beams of Heaven as I Go. Beams of Heaven as I go through this wilderness below. Guide my feet in peaceful ways, turn my midnights into days. When in the darkness I would groan, faith always sees a star of hope, and soon from all life's grief and danger, I shall be I know if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Oftentimes my sky is clear, joy abounds without a tear. Though a day so bright begun, clouds may hide tomorrow's sun. There'll be a day that's always bright, a day that never yields to night. And in its light, the streets of glory I shall behold someday. I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Now, if you have your Bible handy, you can follow along with this morning's scripture reading. It's from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 22, and that'll be followed by today's message. Matthew 9, starting with verse 18. This story takes place just after Jesus has been speaking to his disciples. While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, while every day and time is uncertain, we bow before you as our one constant, the only one who can make us whole. If our hearts are weighed down by anxiety, stress, and worry, Lord, speak your words of comfort and healing to our hearts. In gratitude, we offer the prayer that Jesus offered us to offer to you. So hear us as again we pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew introduces us to a woman who was leading a broken life. She had been ill for 12 years. Her illness made her socially impure, so she was one of those who had to quarantine herself. She probably felt unworthy of even God's love, because perhaps she saw this illness as some kind of punishment. She lived in despair, not much hope for the future if she was never going to get well. But at some point, and we don't know when, she either heard Jesus preaching or she saw Jesus healing others. Whatever the situation was, she came to believe that Jesus could heal her. And she even believed that it wouldn't take a great miracle. It would simply take her sneaking up behind him and simply touching the bottom hem of his robe. She deeply trusted, and that made her whole. She was healed. She was able to be restored to her family. She finally had hope. As Jesus said to her, Your trust, your faith has made you whole. This woman introduced to us by Matthew is a great example of the three simple truths that I've been sharing with us since Easter. You remember the first was, God is good. That is God's nature. That's God's character. The second of the truths was, God works for good. Works for our good, works for the good of others. And now this third simple truth. We can trust God. Because God is good and because God works for good, we can trust God. We can trust God's decisions for our lives. God is someone we can count on. Someone who will never betray us. And if we choose to trust this God, we too, like that woman, find ourselves experiencing wholeness. This wholeness might include physical health, mental health. That wholeness will include a sense of peace. That wholeness will include contentment. That wholeness will allow us to feel a presence of God, the awareness that God is near. That wholeness will bring us into an intimate relationship with God. And definitely, it will give us hope for the future. Yet it's very easy for me to talk about trusting God. But probably you have thought to yourself, it's kind of hard to trust these days. Many of us who grew up trusting people have discovered it's not easy to do anymore. It's hard to trust anymore these days. We know that when our phone rings, that phone number we're not familiar with may be someone who wants to lie to us. We know that when we see that email that we're not familiar with, it may be a trick. We know that when we drive around town and see somebody begging for food or for help and having a wonderful sign expressing their need, that beggar might be a fake who simply does that just to gain money. It's hard to trust people these days. And it may even be hard to trust God. Let me tell you about a man who found it very hard to trust God. His name was John. John had gone into the services soon after high school. He joined the army and he decided to make it his career. He wanted to spend the rest of his life serving in the armed forces. John had grown up through the ranks. He had finally gotten to the position where he was at the top of his pay grade. He was doing a job that he loved. Everything was going well for John, and it was easy for him to thank God for the life he had. But everything changed in the matter of a few seconds one day. John was in a horrible car accident. At the hospital, they had to amputate his left leg. He had compression fractures on 5 of the vertebrae in his back. Life was suddenly very different for John. He spent months in hospital and rehab. The Army gave him a medical retirement. Now he was out of the job he loved, out of the services, and in great pain. Through those months of rehab, John found himself actually cursing God for the pain he was enduring and for the loss of the job that he always wanted. After John had finally gotten out and was taking care of himself best he could, he happened to get an invitation. An invitation to his high school reunion. I'm not sure which one it was, but it had been a while. And he decided that he was well enough, he would go. Maybe seeing some of his old friends would cheer him up. He had been so depressed since losing everything that he treasured. So he went to his class reunion. He got to meet some old friends. And he got to meet one special friend. It was a lady named Joan. He had known her in high school. They had been good friends then and just lost track of each other. And through much of the evening, John and Joan talked together and shared their history, shared their interest. And there was, as you might imagine, a spark that lit between them. They continued to see each other for the coming months. And they decided for them it was a time to get married. So John and Joan were married. And Joan had been a medical social worker in hospitals. And she had retired from that job, but she had been volunteering at the hospital, wanting to spend her time just serving best she could. And it wasn't very long before Joan volunteered John to come to the hospital with her and to help her. And John had dabbled a little bit in magic, so Joan asked him to come with her. And when they go to the pediatric area, he would do some magic tricks for the kids. Well, the children enjoyed it. The parents expressed all the time their joy, their thankfulness that John and Joan were there to make their children smile. As they continued to go to the hospital and to bless the children, it turned out that word spread. And all of a sudden, their mission to make children smile at one hospital became a mission to go to three other hospitals and do the same. So they spent the next 18 years traveling to those four hospitals throughout the weeks, just coming to meet the children, the parents, and to do the magic tricks and to just let them know that someone's there that cares and to let them smile for a while. It was not until John and Joan graduated, you might say, retired from their volunteer work, that John finally realized that God had been with him all the time. That this God he had cursed for taking away the best job he ever had was a God who knew what was coming and prepared him for an even better future. He had no idea God would lead him to his wife and to a ministry to bless children in ways he had never imagined before. Finally, he saw that he actually could trust God with his life. It's much easier to trust God if we know that God has seen our future already. God sees our future options and knows the best path for us to take. God will guide us, will nudge us, sometimes need to push us to where God knows we're needed. You see, our God is not a God who simply reacts to the events of our lives. God has plans. God has purposes for us. And God is guiding us to fulfill those plans. There is so much good that God wants us to accomplish throughout all of our days. Much of that good is very ordinary. It may be simply saying hello to someone. It may be simply sending a card or communicating or helping someone with something simple. But sometimes God has plans for us to do some special things, some sacrificial giving and serving. Let me tell you about a young man named Ivan who saw that happen for himself. Ivan had been living in the United States for most of his life. He was living with his father, who had come here from Mexico some 40 years before. His father was all the family he had. And as Ivan grew up, his father made sure that he saved money and allowed Ivan to go to college. While Ivan was in college, he got a phone call one day from his father. His father said, "This is the last time I'm going to be talking to you. I'm being deported back to Mexico." Even though he'd been living in this country for 40 years, he was going to be gone. And Ivan suddenly found himself in a panic. Now he's all alone. He's at college. He has a place to stay for now, but what's he going to do when college is over? Who's going to take care of him? Where is he going to go to live? His father had been handling the payments on his car. What's he going to do? Is his car going to be repossessed? Will he have no longer any transportation? All these questions kept weighing on Ivan. He didn't know what the future held, but he couldn't see anything good ahead of him. His anxiousness took hold. His fear and worry just were a constant companion, to the point that his grades began to suffer. Well, Ivan had a good friend at college, and one day his friend told him that his parents were coming down for the weekend, and would Ivan like to join them for dinner? Well, you know, as a college student, you never turn down a meal outside of college. So Ivan went with his best friend to join his parents for a good dinner. But while they were eating, Ivan discovered the parents had something else on their mind besides helping a couple college kids have a good meal. His friend's parents told them that their son had told them of Ivan's situation, and they felt called by God to help him. All of a sudden, when Ivan heard those words, he felt like a 2-ton weight had been dropped off his back. Just to have an idea that someone was going to be in his corner. They were going to help him get through school. They were going to help him take care of his car payments. They were a place that he could call his home away from home. Ivan discovered, as he went home and rejoiced when he got back in bed, he just thanked God and asked God to forgive him for doubting. God had already been planning for his future. He knew then that he was in God's hands and he had nothing to be concerned about. He's a good example to me that to trust God is to put God fully in charge of our lives. It's to say, Lord, I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of this life of brokenness. I'm tired of living in anxiety. I'm tired of being afraid all the time. I'm tired of God being a stranger to me. I'm tired of a life that's not satisfying, a life where I worry all the time. To trust God is to want God to be the pilot of our lives, to be in charge. But friends, even though God may be in the pilot seat, God can't be the pilot if we're constantly taking the wheel, if we're constantly moving our feet over to touch the gas or hit the brakes. Friends, it's not enough to have Jesus involved in our lives, to have God where we trust-ish. If we really are in charge, we're not going to experience wholeness. We're not going to know the kind of life that God wants us to have. Like the woman in the story, perhaps we need to crawl back to Jesus if we must, and to just come and touch the hem of his garment and to say, I am ready to trust you completely. We need to take that first step to give up our brokenness and begin to trust. Give up trusting God sometimes, to trust-ish God, but instead to trust God fully. And as we learn to trust God, we may take some steps forward, and then we might find ourselves stepping back sometimes in worry. But even as we attempt, God's wholeness will start to color our lives. We'll begin to see God making changes. We'll begin to feel that peace, that awareness that God is there. We'll see God's presence. We'll feel God's guidance. And we'll discover God had plans for our future all along, if we'd simply trust. And that will help us trust God and grow stronger in our trust when we see a God who's in charge. So friends, I share these three simple truths with you, and I encourage you to live by them. Live each day knowing God is good. Live each day believing that God works for our good. Live each day trusting God with our lives and our future. We have a God who will never leave us. We have a God worthy of trust. So would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths, for reminding us again who you are, what you're doing, and how we can respond. Lord, fill our minds so fully with that truth, knowing that you're good, knowing you're working for good, and then fill our hearts with that faith and trust that that woman demonstrated one day as she came behind Jesus and simply touched the hem. Lord, allow us to come and touch that hem and to give you our fullest trust. Thank you, Lord, for being a God we can count on, and we know who has plans for us. Thank you for hope, and thank you for that peace. We pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We'll close our worship today with the singing of Be Still My Soul, a beautiful song about trust. If you have a copy of that song, please join me wherever you are in singing this song of assurance.
Be still, my soul.